Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Happy Halloween, everybody. It is the Death Lineup. Bri, did you dress up? Are you dressing up? Do you get trick-or-treaters in your place? What's the deal with Halloween?
I don't think we get trick-or-treaters. We have like a gate and then into the apartment. So I don't think we're getting trick-or-treaters. I haven't seen a trick-or-treater in forever. But for dressing up purposes, no, I'm like the worst with Halloween. I wish I was better. Like last year there was a Halloween party, and as the party was starting, I was texting my friends like in line at Spirit Halloween right now. And then I made sure to buy two costumes so I wouldn't have to go through that again this year. So now I'm wearing the second one that I bought last year.
So, but what are you guys going out? Like, what's the plan? What do the 20s generation do on Halloween?
I think because this Halloween fell on a Thursday, like there was events last weekend and then there's an events this week, like not events as in like people, like I guess the collective youth, the mind, the brain trust, they all are like, okay, we're going to the bars these days, and then everyone just somehow knows and follows that. But so last Saturday we had something, tomorrow on Friday I'm going somewhere. And
can you really have a Halloween party on November 1st? That doesn't sound, it seems like it's already,
I think that's why there was stuff, I think that's why there was like, you know, it falling on Thursday was weird, because yeah, November 1st Halloween party doesn't sound right, but technically yeah, it is the day after Halloween and it's closer to Halloween than last weekend was.
What is your second costume?
it's like a handyman, like jumpsuit, like navy blue. Like I could have gotten like a hockey mask and done the Jason thing, but I didn't even get like a mechanical. I didn't even get like a tool, you know, like a blow up hammer or something.
Yeah, like, or like, a screwdriver. Like a real wrench, just in case. Like, just like it's,
yeah. And I thought about that,
but... or if anybody drunk, like gets a little too out of hand.
No, yeah, I thought about that, but then I thought people would be like, "Why do you bring like a weapon?"
Yeah, then you might get in trouble. What was your favorite costume when you were a kid?
In college, I had a good Mario costume. Like, me and my friends did the Mario Luigi Wario Waluigi thing, and like we killed it. I thought it was pretty good. As a kid, though, I think I did like the Flash, right? Like that was the funny picture of me.
That was the memorable one for me.
Yeah,
the Flash.
Just seeing like a brown kid in the Flash.
Did you see the I think the Warriors Twitter account showed the photo, or it's a video of a kid walking in a box, but he's like a Donruss basketball card, and he's like,
yeah,
Steph. That was really good.
Yeah,
whomever made that costume, kudos to you. That kid was awesome. He probably won all the costume contests at school.
My recent trend that I have thought has been funny is when people are dressing up as like famous people, but like a very like specific instance of like, oh man, what's one that I saw? Oh man, I can't really think of it, but it's like the meme is like, oh, I hate Halloween. Like, why are you dressed up as like, you know, specific, insert specific, super unique instance here. Like, why are you dressed up as like Michael Jackson when he went to like the bar that one day that everyone remembers?
the ones, I think these are both very creative, but also, if you're posting on Twitter, you're posting your costume, but then you have to post the picture of what it is after, or else people won't understand what your costume is. That's pretty specific, though in some cases they do such a good job. You're like, okay, but I would have never guessed it on 1,000 guesses who you actually
are. Exactly. That's what I think. That's what I think is funny, though. That's the point of that joke, is to, it's so specific, no one will ever remember. But when you have the side by side picture, it's like funny.
As one of my old coworkers posted her, and I think it's her husband, on Twitter or on Instagram. And I didn't know what they were. But then when she showed the SNL video of Pete Davidson and I forget the other guy, but they're doing like the version of the Yeet rappers where they don't even really say anything, but they're just saying like Yeet and
Timothy Chalamet.
Whatever that was. They were that skit on SNL. So when I saw the skit, I was like, oh, that is actually really cool. But I would have never known if they didn't say what it was.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right. We are going to talk about some Warriors hoops today. So I don't know, 4-1. I think when we talked about the beginning of the schedule, I mentioned like the schedule is not hard out of the gate. And you have to actually get off to a good start because they're about to go on the road trip from hell. So 4-1, taking care of business at home against the Pelicans twice was really good, especially without Steph. I think a lot of people are buying into the vibe of the team. They look like they enjoy what they're doing. But I did get a little alarmed when the one team that they played who was a little bigger and longer in the Clippers, and they were stuck. Like, they couldn't do anything offensively. They're doing lots of movement. They're doing lots of backups. They're back cuts. They're putting up a lot of threes, which is creating opportunities. So all of that is fun, and it's really fun to watch. They are an entertaining basketball team right now, even without Steph. But I do wonder what happens when they play someone who's long and athletic, like they will play upcoming the Thunder, the Cavs, and the Celtics all next week. They may get locked up a little bit in what they're trying to do. But 5 games in, so far so good with the season.
Yeah, I didn't think 4-1 was likely. I thought 3-2 was likely, given like the weakness of the opening schedule. Of course, you can't predict for things like Stephen Curry being injured. Maybe when we did this last time, like Kawhi, I don't even know if he was announced to have been like gonna miss that game. And then of course the DeJounte Murray, Trey Murphy thing. And then the second game around, no CJ and Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, DeJounte Murray. Like, that was a shorthanded Pelicans team. And like, of course, what, we're 4-1. We're probably like second in the West. Do I think we're the second best team in the West? Like, no, I don't. Like, I guess when I thought that 3-2 was likely, I was hoping that it'd be more of a convincing 3-2. And now it's 4-1. And you'd think like, oh man, that must be convincing. And I wouldn't say it's convincing yet. Like, I just think that, I'm just not convinced by what their record says, as opposed to, I do like the vibes though. Like, I guess what that does seem like a good thing. I think the length was throwing them off. And I think the Pelicans, especially that first half, I know I was texting in the group chat. I know Obi and JJ were as well, of just like, man, this feels helpless. Like that first couple quarters where they were down 20, it's like, they have no shot creation. Like, they have, you know, and you just watch Brandon Ingram just walk up and get a bucket. Like, we didn't have anyone that could do that, especially with no Wigs either. And it just felt helpless. And then they somehow managed to pull it off. But I'm still not convinced. I think that stuff kind of wears off. I think that, the ball movement and the off ball movement is perfect. But, if a game gets down to the wire, I don't think you trust it as much. If you don't have like the isolation score.
Yeah, the thing, and you said it's not that impressive, and I think from the perspective of who are they beating, the teams, the Pelicans were going to be better with Murray on the team, and then they had some other injuries, though I did think that CJ McCollum looked a little washed
I think he needs to come off the bench. That's something I've been preaching for that team, but I think the one that hurts us the most is Trey Murphy not being there. The 6'10 shooting guard, like, that would suck if he was playing.
But their point differential is insane. They won by like 30 and 40 in the first two games. Now it was Portland and Utah. And then they beat the Pelicans by double digits both games. So if you look at from like the points perspective of point differential, they're fantastic right now, but level of competition hasn't been uh, hasn't been great. So I guess the big thing now, we already hit one of our talking points, but I still need to play the sound effect here. So that my first talking point was the 4-1 start, but the flip side of that is Steph Curry spraining his ankle on what looked to just be a normal basketball move. His foot got stuck and it kind of wiggled a little bit when he planted. And then he was on the bench. He was stretching it. And then he was, I guess, feeling better enough to go back in. And immediately when he goes back in, he sprains the ankle again. Now, this is not anything that we haven't seen before. We've seen that and worse. But I do wonder if this, because of their start, you know, maybe you don't have to bring him back for the first two games of the road trip. Maybe you save him for the Boston game. Do you think that they're going to be a little bit more conservative now that they started out of the gate so well?
Yeah, I think because they started out the gate so well, that gives them the opportunity to be a little more conservative. I think if you get one of those games that you mentioned, Cavs, Thunder, Boston, like, you feel great. So yeah, I think they do go a little more conservative.
So with the injury, it created an opportunity for a couple of players. Buddy Hield was awesome with Steph on the court, but he's had to step up his role a little bit. Lindy Waters III, who was not even in their rotation before Steph got hurt in that first Pelicans game, he was awesome. So that was great to see, because, you know, if you watch the preseason, he was awesome in the preseason, but now actual reps during the game, you know, still early in the season, but these are real games. He looks like he fits. Now, the second game, he had 3 points, but he did still play the 30 minutes. He just was not as
he started,
I guess. Yeah, he started, but, you know, he wasn't as confident letting the shot fly as he was. I think he missed a couple, and then he was a little bit more conservative with the shot, whereas in the first game, he was letting it fly and they were going in. But we also had another Jonathan Kuminga situation where Kuminga started the first three games. They Steph and Wiggins then have to sit out. And so Kuminga, you think, okay, well, now it's Kuminga time. Now Kuminga is going to be a focal point in the lineup. And instead, they brought him off the bench. So here's what's funny about that. Now, I wanted to get your take on this. This is where I'm kind of wondering if Steve Kerr himself is kind of talking in circles a bit, because the starting lineup that they rolled out for the first three games, super big, super long, no shooting whatsoever. And the reason that they gave is because they wanted to lean defense and they wanted to get rebounds and run. That was the reason. So the reason that the reason for Kerr to sit Jonathan Kuminga in the fourth game and have him come off the bench was spacing. And it's like, wait, but what about the first three games that, you know, you were worried about the spacing? And I guess you weren't worried about the spacing, and now you're worried about the spacing. And maybe it's because without Wiggs, you rely on Wiggs so much defensively. And then without Steph, you really do need more than one guy just spacing. I just thought, you know, if you're Kuminga and you're hearing this commentary constantly from Steve Kerr, I just think it's a little fishy, you know, for some of this. But, you know, it looks like he was fine with it and he came off the bench. I thought he played well on game four. Game five, he was still okay. He had a great in and out move against Brandon Ingram. But we're doing the same dance with Moody and Kuminga, just is now for the fourth year in a row, where neither of them really has a planted role where they're just going to be in consistently. Here's how many minutes they're going to play. They're still kind of in this mix of who knows if they're starting or they're finishing or if they're coming off the bench or not, like that whole game, which I'm sure makes Warriors fans kind of pull their hair out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think I said on this podcast, or if not, I said in our chat, like, that starting lineup kind of just felt like Kerr you know, saying like he would, he said the words, like he said he wanted this to be his starting lineup for like the entire year. And right when I saw that starting lineup on paper, I was like, there's no shot in hell that this is going to work. There's no chance in hell that this is going to work. That, you know, you have essentially three non-shooters and then an iffy shooter in Wiggins with just Steph, like that, like that does not make sense per how basketball is played today. And some part of me thinks that Steve just wanted to be like, well, you know, like I tried it, you know, like I tried to put Kuminga in the starting lineup, because I think that regardless, he was going to the bench if those injuries happened or not. And so since they did, it just made it a little more awkward that he was going to the bench.
Yeah.
Because
Shams with the report like came out on Twitter. It was like Kuminga to the bench.
That's Kuminga's guy, man. That's JK's guy is Shams. Anytime anything goes wrong, he's texting Shams. But I mean, it's the right call. It's just, I didn't buy the whole starting lineup thing. Like, this is the starting lineup. I want to be good. Sure, you want it to be good, but what's realistic? It's not going to be good.
Yeah. Big Leo's in the chat says, way too early, but good to see a young Warriors team getting wins. I agree. Though they're not young, they're not that young. You know,
how
take
old is
out
Lindy Waters?
27, I think I saw.
Oh, you really? Nice.
Yeah. So, but
I mean,
you know,
but yeah,
you take,
still not
you
like young.
Steph, you take out Draymond, you take out Wiggs. Yeah, then you're a little bit younger, and it is the young, some of the younger players. But Buddy Hield's not necessarily a young guy. Buddy Hield's like in his late 20s or early 30s. But Pod's getting some run. You know, Moody, Kuminga, Trace, Davis Jackson.
Jackson Davis.
What do you think of Kyle Anderson? It's an interesting fit on this team, and I'm not sure the benefit yet. I can't, like, I haven't seen it other than like he plays hard and he's really smart.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the fit seems forced a little bit.
Yeah. Like his nickname is Slow-Mo and this team likes to play fast. So I think that's where the fit is a little wonky, is like, right now, especially without Steph, no guy who can, or Wiggs who can get you like a bucket. Like they're just relying on creating fast break situations, even off of makes. And then you have a guy named Slow-Mo. Like it just doesn't, it's not a perfect marriage right now.
All right. So I mentioned Lindy Waters, great story. He is a Native American, which is really a cool sort of culture for an NBA player. We haven't seen many Native American basketball players, so I think that's really cool. But he played in Oklahoma. Like, I think he grew up in Oklahoma, actually. So playing for the Thunder and being on their G League team, and then the Warriors made that trade for him, which it gave them an athletic guy who can handle and who can shoot and who can drive. So it's like that style of player that the NBA is really leaning into today. Like you watch the Celtics, it's like everybody can dribble, pass, and shoot. Like if they don't have a player on the floor who can dribble, pass, and shoot, you're like, this is kind of weird. Like this person doesn't fit. And the Warriors, they don't necessarily have a lot of those guys. They have a little bit more of a balanced team, but they need more. And that is one of the things that, you know, that we talked about last year, is just the lack of athleticism sometimes that is on the floor. And you saw that when the Kings boat raced them in the play-in game. It's just like, oh my gosh, there's zero athleticism out here. De'Aaron Fox and those guys are just like picking Steph's pocket and going back and getting layups. So I like his athleticism, and just I like the story, especially this early in the season. Everyone is new, and you know, 4-1. The Cavaliers are 5-0. You know, the Magic look great. The Celtics look great. You know, I was hearing stuff about, oh, JJ Redick, Coach of the Year, and then they get blown out by 20 in Cleveland. But you need stories like that to kind of keep the beginning of the season going. The World Series is now over, so you don't have baseball. The NFL is still in now in midseason. So the stories in basketball are fun. And I'm glad that we have the Lindy Waters thing, because it just makes you want to see, like, how good is he really? Can he, when Steph comes back, does he stay in the rotation? Or I can't imagine he does, but like that's something that you can kind of watch at least this early.
Yeah, I think I really liked watching, like, the thing that stood out to me outside of the shooting and him obviously, like, kind of fitting in perfectly to this offense, being able to move off the ball, is the rebounds. Like, that, I don't know what the rebound count was that first game, but man, it felt like he was hustling and getting a lot of them. So I really enjoyed seeing that. And, like, I mean, you say, like, he's out of the rotation when Steph comes back. Yeah, I guess numbers wise, it doesn't make sense how he stays in it. But I'm kind of thinking, like, how can you find a way to keep? I mean, if this type of stuff continues, but then guess who suffers? It's like Moses. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's
like
Moses, it is somebody like Moses. It is, or maybe it is Kyle Anderson. Maybe that forced fit. Maybe you just play Draymond and TJD, and that forced Kyle Anderson on the court, maybe you save him for if Draymond gets in foul trouble, like he was in foul trouble last night against Zion, but the Warriors were already up by like 15 points at that point. So yeah, that's part of this rotation. And I guess you kind of have to keep playing everybody like the way that they're doing. Can you imagine, you know, Moses is bombing threes, and can you imagine telling him, okay, dude, you're not going to play as much? Like, that's not great.
I know what I just said, but I feel like you got to find a way to play that guy too. Like, I feel like he's finding something right now. And like, I think I mentioned it to you last night when we were playing 2K, but one of the first couple possessions in the second Pelicans game was like a confident Moses three. And I mean, I know it's something so small like that, but like, I think seeing him, you know, take a confident leap, yeah, I think you just got to keep playing him at the level you're playing him to ensure that that continues. And I mean, if you don't plan on using him, I mean, use it for trade bait, which we're probably going to talk about kind of soon. But they need to find a way, man, whether it's being extra conservative with Melton, you know, the guy who missed the majority of last
year.
That's
the other guy who missed who's been missing as well, which has opened up opportunities for folks like Lindy.
Can you see a world in where like Buddy is like, gets less, like maybe like a very significant decrease in minutes? It's not something I want to put out there, but you know, put out into the ethos here. But yeah, I mean, we know he's not a guy who can play defense. I'm just thinking, like, who the hell is gonna lose minutes for this stuff? And it's gonna be Lindy or Moses, but I'm just wondering, like, you know, I keep seeing tweets on how, like, with you know, I think I don't know if I said this in this podcast or to you personally, but like, when we first got Wiggins, I know we said here, like, Minnesota fans told us, you know, he's going to be awesome for a couple weeks or a couple games, and then he's going to disappear. And, you know, that's quite frankly been our experience with him. And while, you know, I think we came out on the winning end, of course, by having a number two on a finals team and getting another ring, like, yeah, we came out on the winning end. But yeah, these past 2 years, he kind of did do the disappearing thing where, you know, had off the court stuff going on, of course, but it felt like, you know, he was also, you know, took a step back as for locked in purposes. And that, of course, could also be because of the off the court stuff. But I guess what I'm saying is that's what the Minnesota fans told us. And I think they were right. But we came out on the winning end. What I've seen from the Buddy Hield people, like the Kings and the Pacers, and I think he was a little on the 76ers, is that he's going to start out awesome, and then it's going to get frustrating in the sense of, like, you know, defensive locked in-ness, awareness and hustle, like, that's going to go down a little. So I guess I am just kind of waiting to see, not that I'm hoping for it to happen, of course, but I'm just waiting to see, like, that switch, like, when we're going to be like, ah, shit, like, Buddy's like not, like, he looks like JP out there when JP got punched in the face by Draymond and then turned into the worst defender in the league.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I think a couple of things about that. Did you see any of the sound bites of Draymond talking about Jerry Stackhouse last night?
I did not.
So basically the conversation was about Jerry Stackhouse has the team locked in defensively, best since when Mike Brown was the defensive coordinator. And so that was the story of last night's game. And I think if that stuff does matter, it's just going to be about effort with Buddy Hield. And if he does not put forth that effort, then yeah, he's going to lose minutes, because you know who is going to put forth the effort? GP2, right? He's going to put forth that effort. So I think what we may see, and this is where maybe Steve can get away with playing more guys than certain teams, because if you look at each game and you have strategies in, okay, if we're up or if we're down or if we're, we need this, we need that, you can see, oh, the Warriors are lacking in this. Well, Lindy Waters is going to actually get some run in this game, and maybe they pull back on GP. Or we need this. Okay, GP is going to play a lot more. Lindy's probably not going to play that much. And so I think you can balance that there. I think you're going to have to play Buddy Hield, though, just because he's the only guy on the court, I think, that the other team really respects from distance. Mm-hmm. Nobody else really gets attacked. This is why Moses can actually sneak some of those threes, is because I still don't think they really respect him. Now he keeps hitting them the way that he's hitting them, then they will have to. Another guy who may get his minutes pulled but is an absolute vet is Kevon, right? Like Kevon, this is where the Kyle Anderson thing, it's just why I don't understand it. Who would you rather have out on the court, Kyle Anderson or Kevon? Mm. I would rather have Kevon on the court, but you have to figure out if there are moments where Kyle Anderson is going to help you where Kevon doesn't. Kyle Anderson probably a little bit better of a ball handler, a little bit better of a passer.
Probably way better in a lot of those categories.
He can get out to the perimeter a little bit better, though. Looney knows the offense. Looney's going to be a savage grabbing rebounds, so that's where he's better. So yeah, those guys are going to probably be fighting for minutes. And then you know the one of the things is about Pods. Does he have to play? Do you need him to play for creation and for ball handling? Because the first couple of games, I thought he was really bad. And now these Pelicans games, he's been really good and he's been confident. And so, you know, you hope to see that from him where, okay, maybe those first two games were a little bit of an aberration and he's really going to attack and do some things that no one else on the team does outside of Steph. So that's something to look at as well. All right.
Valks Valley.
All right, our Valks Valley segment is going to be based on women's college basketball, because all of the preseason women's college basketball stuff is out there. I wanted to read you a list from The Athletic of the top 10 women's basketball players. And I'll quickly go through them. But what I want you to do is I want you to let folks know who are actually possibilities for the draft and who can people, if people are interested, if you're doing some scouting for the Valkyries this year, which college basketball teams are you going to put on the DVR and schedule to record so that you can check out who the Valkyries may draft? All right, top 10. Ioka Lee from Kansas State, 6'6", fifth-year senior center. Tahina Pau Pau, South Carolina. If you watched any of the tournament last year, you got to see a lot of her. 5'9", fifth-year senior guard. Flaus J. Johnson, saw a lot of her as well, was Angel Reese's teammate, 5'10", junior wing. We have Lauren Betts, who is a 6'7", junior center at UCLA. I'm sure there's going to be some nice battles with her and who I believe is number three on this list. Anissa Morrow, LSU, 6'1", senior guard, again, played with Angel Reese. Maddie Booker from Texas, 6'1", sophomore. So a sophomore jumps into the top five here. And Hannah Hidalgo from Notre Dame, 5'6", another sophomore. She is tiny. 5'6"? How does she play with some of these just taller women? That's amazing. Yeah. Have you seen her play?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Wow, 5'6". That's amazing. So Olivia Miles is back. So she kind of stepped in for Olivia Miles last year, right?
Correct.
Okay. So number three, Kiki Iriafin, played at Stanford last year. We got to see her in the tournament. She's now at USC. She's a graduate transfer, so she will be in the NBA draft.
She's technically a senior, but I think she went to Stanford. She's really smart, so she graduated as a junior.
Probably is already done. Yeah.
Yeah, she's done.
Number two, another sophomore, Juju Watkins. She's a few years away from the draft, but I think she led. Did she lead league in scoring, or was she behind Caitlin? I can't remember how that worked out last year.
I don't know, but it's one of them too.
And then, obviously, number one, Paige Beckers. Now, do you think there is a conversation for Juju to be one, or is Paige should Paige be one? Because I've seen a couple of people try and list Juju ahead of Paige, but most of like the professional lists have Paige number one.
Yeah, I think if you're doing a list where you're predicting who will end up as the best player by the end of the season, like I think Juju is still just like a tiny bit of a hot take, but I don't think it's like a wrong take at all. But I think if you're going off of what we've seen thus far, what's been, you know, put on tape, what we have on the stat sheet, like I think Paige is probably the best, but I don't think it wouldn't be a shocker at all if it's Juju. I would probably put some money into it being Juju by the end of the season. That's, I think she's just that type of player.
And I mean, unless she tests the eligibility rules, it's almost like, you know, she probably is fine playing in college, but at some point, I don't know. If she's a junior, does she want to test the waters? I don't even know how that would even work.
I think the one rule is if you're playing it at an American college, you just have to turn 21 during the draft year. Or it's 21 or 22. So she does not. Neither does Flage. So I think it's really just like the seniors. Definitely some juniors. So I've got to double check if it's 21 or 22. But it's like your turn that specific age in the year that the draft is in. So you could even turn that age after the draft, but as long as it's that year.
Okay.
I forget if it's 21 or 22.
So per the WNBA, players have to be at least 22.
That's the age.
Completed their college eligibility to have graduated from a 4-year college or be 4 years removed from high school. So, I wonder if Kiki could have come out, because if she already graduated, she would just had to finish her college eligibility. Or graduated from a 4-year college. So if she was able to graduate in 3 years, she probably could have come out.
I gotta see it, because I also think with French players, or not, sorry, not French, but international players, that a lot of players, of course, get drafted from France. But I think with international, like I think you could get drafted at 18. So what I need to see, like these. So okay, here we go. All all NCAA players who are graduating seniors or turning 22 years old in 2022. So this is in the 2022 draft. This is obviously different now, but in 2022 are eligible to renounce any remaining NCAA eligibility, including extra eligibility granted by the NCAA due to the pandemic, in order to opt into the 2022 WNBA draft. All international players who are turning 20 years old in 2022 are also eligible for the 2022 NBA draft. See, I thought I saw an 18-year-old get drafted internationally, but so it sounds like internationally it's 20 years old at the year of the draft, and then for NCAA it is 22 in the year of the draft or graduating seniors.
Well, this is stuff that we are going to learn a lot more as we cover the Valkyries. All right, so all out of that list, or out of a list of top players, who should Valkyries fans keep an eye on and set their DVRs to record games for? They're not going to have a shot at Paige, not going to have a shot at Kiki. With the fifth pick, who else is going to probably not be available for them?
It's more likely than not that Anissa Morrow from LSU isn't going to be on the board by the number five pick, but it's entirely possible. It's just not probable. In both ESPN and The Athletic's list of top 20 to 25 players, Anissa comes in at the third draft eligible player. Not saying she was number three on either of their boards. I think she was like number seven, but she's the third eligible player to be drafted. So Paige, Kiki, Anissa. And then for The Athletic, it was Tahina Pau-Pau from South Carolina. So she will be someone on the board for sure. It looks like The Athletic didn't even have Olivia Miles, did they?
She may have been in the from 11 to 20, but she was not.
I wrote it down. I don't think she is then. She was in ESPN. She was like number 13 for ESPN. But The Athletic did not have Olivia Miles. Again, we mentioned her a little earlier. She is the backcourt teammate to Hannah Hidalgo, who came in at number three or four at everyone's boards. She is someone who has a good chance of being available. I think a lot of people probably have her as number four on the WNBA mock draft behind Paige, Kiki, and Anissa. So Olivia Miles from Notre Dame. And then I already mentioned Tahina Pau-Pau from South Carolina. And then this Ioka Lee, I don't know much about her from a draft perspective, but I think sometimes when you have like these fifth or sixth year seniors, like they don't really go that high in the draft. Because they keep exercising like college eligibility to not go into the draft. Because of course, like age is value in sports as well.
I'm looking at an ESPN mock draft from about a month ago, and she was not in the first 12.
There you go.
On this WNBA mock draft that I'm reading from NBADraftRoom.com, they only mocked out 11, and they have Ioka Lee at 11.
So Tahina Pau-Pau, South Carolina, Rory Harmon from Texas. I think she's either a 5'6 or a 5'8 guard. I don't really love the super short point guard. I think that also translates into the NBA for me. Like, I always think like size and length is the way to go. And of course, you know, the players, that's not how it always ends up going down, but I'm probably not going to be watching as much Rory Harmon just because I don't think that they should draft her, but there's a chance they do. The player I'm going to be watching, her name's Saniya Rivers. She is a 6'1 guard playing at NC State in the same division as Stanford and Berkeley. So I'm going to be going to those games this year. And then also her teammate, Isaiah James. They're the ones that knocked out Stanford last year in the tournament.
I remember that game.
And so both of them as a backcourt are projected to be probably first rounders in the draft. They're both seniors. There's this also, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but Cheyenne Sellers. She was in the Athletic's top 20 list. She was in the ESPN's top 20 list. She is from Maryland. She is a senior. I don't know much about her, but I'm going to definitely be looking into it. But I think, so taking it back to top five, most of the mocks I've seen has Olivia Miles potentially going to us, or AZ Fudd. I know I've brought her up a couple of times on this podcast. She was the first signature athlete signed to Stephen Curry's brand, not just Under Armour, but to the Curry brand. She's been someone who's dealt with a lot of injuries. She didn't make either of these lists. But this senior class, you know, she was the number one recruit from high school for this draft. Kind of like a Patrick Baldwin Jr. situation, but I don't want to put that into the air, you know, because PBJ was for a long time the number one prospect in that draft. We got him. But AZ Fudd, it was apparently like insanely good. And then she's just like ACL meniscus, ACL meniscus. I know. I know a page that happened to her a little bit to start her college career as well. But AZ's gone through it like times two. So, you know, of course, you always worry about that from an injury perspective. But yeah, I'm mostly keeping my eye on Anissa, AZ Fudd, Olivia Miles, Saniya Rivers. And then probably the South Carolina guard / wings with Pau Pau. And I think there's like a Raven Johnson who locked up Caitlin in the championship game. But yeah, there's a definitely, I would say, watch the UConn games, watch, if you can, watch the USC games, watch the LSU games, and watch the Notre Dame games. It's a lot of games to watch, but I have them all on my calendar.
Have you read any of this stuff on the unrivaled 3-on-3 league trying to recruit Caitlin to play?
I saw Wall Street Journal like put out a crazy report that they're trying to, like, she's asking for like $1 million in like equity.
So this is from Yahoo Sports. I think Sports Business Journal was the one that had the original report. They've had talks about her participating in the 3-on-3 league. Now, this league has actually been picked up by, I want to say it's Warner Brothers, so it's probably going to be on TNT or TBS. Yeah. And 3-on-3, I think they have, what, six teams? And Asia Wilson.
She's not playing.
She has not committed.
She's not going to play it.
It's like, for sure. It's Brianna Stewart. It's Kelsey. Who else is like, there's a couple people behind it who actually,
what's funny is that the WNBA finals were the people behind it. It's Brianna Stewart and Nafisa Collier. They're the two that started it, and they played against each other in the WNBA finals.
That's right. It's Nafisa. So they're offering, the offer is believed to be worth over $1 million, which would include an equity stake. Now, the reason why you want Caitlin, of course,
oh my God,
is because she's going to give them immediate ratings. So she will raise the equity. And I thought the funny thing is they have Lexi Hull. And...
Let me tell this part because okay. I've been following this league. Like, I've been, you know, interacting with the teams and on social media and stuff. And so they've been announcing these players who are going to be playing for Unrivaled via like a video, like a 10-second video with hints on who the player is going to be. And then they'll announce the player. I think they started a couple months ago with number one announcing players, and we're at 30. And then it just got announced today that we're going to 36. So I believe like the last three announcements have been Kate Martin, Lexi Hull, Aaliyah Boston. Like,
I'm all tie, like, all Caitlin ties.
Yeah. Like, this is just trying to get her to play for this league. Because if you've seen the players before, like, no offense to Kate Martin, I think she's a fun player to watch. I kind of hope the Valkyries get her. She is not in the same hemisphere as some of these players that are getting announced. Like, it's all the all-stars. It's all all-stars. Plus Kate Martin and Lexi Hull. Like, they just are standouts by far for, like, not really having, like, the talent to compete. But, you know, maybe Caitlin's like, okay, another asterisk because I want to play with who I want to play with, you know? And then it's just Lexi, Aaliyah, Kate, and her friends. Caitlin and friends should just be the team name.
All right, last thing before we get out of here, we're going to hit the Around the NBA. All right, there's lots of Giannis talk about the Bucks' slow start, whether or not they're a good team, and what that means as far as Giannis is concerned. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't think this is going to surprise anybody, but if there's any Giannis frustration, I think Joe Lacob and the Warriors are going to be at the forefront of the conversation about how to bring him in. Now, that doesn't mean that it could actually happen, because I don't know if you've seen what his contract is. This dude's making $58 million, and I think he has a player option for $62 million after these next 2 years. How you would fit him and Steph and other players on the roster, at some point the cap's going to go up because of the new contract, the new TV deal. But so there's, you know, the chess or the puzzle pieces in order to kind of fit them together is going to be ridiculous. But I wanted to know, what do you think an offer could be if for some reason the Warriors and the Milwaukee Bucks were in discussion about a trade for Giannis?
So I did it, and I put together the trade and I got it to go through, except for I added D'Anthony Melton, who is ineligible to be traded until December 15th. But after that, then he can be traded. And so, okay, this was really tough. Giannis makes $48.7 million this year. And so I had to get to that number with the Warriors contracts, which...
Okay, have to trade Draymond?
It was either him or Wiggins, and I did Wiggins.
Okay.
Which I didn't love doing, but to get to the number, it was Wiggins, Melton, Kuminga, Pajemski. Plus, that doesn't even start going into the draft picks.
Yeah, and there would be multiple picks involved for it as well. The Pajemski thing, he's from the area.
Hometown kid.
I think he'd be very welcomed, and he would probably be the marketing piece of that deal, him and Kuminga. What would the picks have to look like for the Bucks to be interested? Because I imagine there are other teams who have better, younger players that they could throw in than the Warriors do. Like Pajemski and Kuminga, they're good trade pieces, but they're not like knock your socks off trade pieces at this point. No. So
I just wonder who would be the team that would be interested in jumping in the fold here that has that, though, that could, you know, like I'm thinking, like I saw a report, and who even knows what's true and what's not, but I saw Brooklyn and Miami, and it's like, okay, well, Brooklyn for sure, because they suck and they have pieces and they have good draft picks that you'd want potentially. But even then, they don't really have like the best young players. Noah Clowney is like, okay, Derek Whitehead hasn't played a second. Cam Thomas is just shot jacking.
I think in order for it to happen, Giannis would have to force his way out and say
he wants Golden State.
I only want to go to the Warriors. That would be the way to do it. And then you still have to do what you just did, which is figure out what the assets are and make it work. But I think if this thing keeps going backwards for the Bucks, I think the Warriors are going to be in the mix for this thing, and I think they're going to be the team leading the headlines in the possibilities of this trade. So
I think I want to throw that out there. I think you got to go back to previous pods where I said that situation could happen, and I said it with a slight smirk on my face, and then you shut me down. Like, it's probably like three pods ago.
Do I ever shut you? Do I ever actually truly
no,
shut
but
you?
It. I think we both probably thought it was unlikely. Well, but
at the same time, we've been trying to figure out how they add to this team even before the last championship, because that was the thing, right? Like, how do we get when the second KD was gone? How do we get someone else? We need a third person. I mean, you were talking about this all last year. Who's the second option? Who's the number two? I mean, you put Steph and Giannis together. The other thing about
number two.
Well, the other thing about Giannis is he's not as young as people probably think. He is already in his 30s. But
is he just 30 on the dot, though?
I think he's 30. So this would be a transition as Steph gets older. Giannis becomes the face, but soon thereafter, he's going to be on the other end too. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there. It's early.
He's 29.
Oh, is he 29?
He's 29.
I want to throw that out there, even though it's early, because I think that conversation is going to happen. So just beware. I think we're going to see a lot more about that in the.
Yeah. One last thing on that is that So I kind of misspoke, but it's very minor, is that those four players I mentioned, Pods, JK, Wiggins, and Melton, you wouldn't be able to do that just for Giannis because the Bucks are like way over, I think they're over the cap. So
you have to bring other players back.
You'd have to, I threw in DeLon Wright, Darrell's younger brother, who's really not that young, but he's, you know, replacing a guard if we're giving away two or three of them. And then I also just threw in the Hall of Picks. So I was looking up, like, because I feel like Fanspo is the website I use that everyone uses for mock trades. And it's not as intuitive of like, if I put in multiple back-to-back picks and I try to make one of them a pick swap, they'll be like, oh, Stepien rule. You know, you can't trade consecutive first round picks. And I'm like, well, no, there's actually a loophole because you can do unprotected first round pick or protected first round pick. And then the following year you can do pick swap, which would technically work and bypass the Stepien rule, because the Stepien rule, I don't know if I'm saying Stepien correctly, it just basically says you need to have a first round pick. You know, like you can't not have a first round pick 2 years in a row. You need to at least still have one. So a pick swap would technically mean you still have one because you just get the least favorable of whatever is yours or the other team's. Or to bypass it, as well as what the Clippers did as I was reading this, because I wanted to know how to bypass it. You can trade the rights to a player after you draft them. So you talk to the team and say, all right, do we have this deal done? Okay, who do you want us to draft? We'll draft them. Draft, boom, send them over, bypass it.
It's a good tool for stuff like this, especially for people who create content. I'm sure they're on that thing all the time trying to figure out how, you know, different pieces and stuff. But all right, anyway, everybody have a great evening for Halloween. Don't get in trouble. Get home early. Get work tomorrow. So, so we'll be back at some point, probably next week, though. There may be weeks where we have to change days or switch up days or even miss weeks entirely because of the Warriors schedule or our schedules. But we've been on a good little run, and it's been fun to get back talking Warriors basketball. So for Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details. At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.